Jesus, all I want to do is follow. Give away the love you give to me. To shine a light in someone else's darkness. To say the words they need to hear to set them free. Take this heart of stone and make it over. All my life, it's all I have to give. Fill it with your love and understanding. And show me how to feel and how to live. Father, let your spirit flow inside me. Till all that will not praise you is undone. Help me keep my feet upon the highway. And grow to be a brother of the sun. When at last the book of life is open and the count of all your servants have been shown, Lord, let me bring somebody with me to stand with all my friends before the throne. Father, let your spirit flow inside me. Till all that will not praise you is undone. And help me keep my feet upon the highway. And grow to be a brother of the sun. Help me keep my feet upon the highway. Grow to be a brother of the sun.
I would like to say, for this is the last time, don't go away, God. I'd like to say, this is the last time I get to say it, greeting from the Thessalonians. Some of them are right here. It's been a pleasure over the last 15 years to say that to the saints here at Bethel Bible Chapel. And you are such an encouragement. It's a privilege to be here today and to share with you. And as we focus on what the Lord has for us, that's our time together. The most important thing we can do is to hear from Him, to hear His word.
Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. For I put my trust in you, dear Lord. I put my trust in you. Show me the way to go, for unto you I lift up my soul. Show me the way to go, for to you I lift up my soul. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. For I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you.
The
time has come for the world to fade, to turn our hearts to the one who came and gave his life that we might be washed and cleansed and free indeed. So come, O Spirit, on this place. Touch each heart with your love and grace. Heal the soul and set it free. Washed and cleansed and free
to take your Bibles and follow along this morning in your own Bible or your own Bible app. Our verse was read this morning and even sung in a few of the songs, and certainly expressed when we broke bread together this morning that sense that something incredible, something that we cannot explain, has taken place in the hearts of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. So our verse today is really we're going to anchor the message on this one verse, maybe move away a little bit to a couple of other favorite parts that I have, other verses that I have that are favorites of mine but have been on my mind for years. And the verse today that we're looking at is Galatians 2:20. It's Paul writing to the church in Galatia. And this is what he writes. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look into your word this morning, we're looking into the words of life. We're looking into the living word. We're looking into a word that we cannot explain in a short time or a long time. Or as the song says, even if the ocean was an inkwell, it would run out. But this morning we recognize that your Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts a truth, something that we have never looked at before or heard before, that meets us right where we need to be met, in our hearts and our souls. We think of the week past, and Lord, we have hard time getting rid of that. Things hang on, and disappointments from the past week, and things that are there that even from the last 50 years sometimes. And then there's the week ahead with its appointments, scheduled appointments, and unscheduled disappointments. They're waiting there for us. But right now, Lord, we can take a breath. We can put that all aside. We can allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and encourage us and challenge us and change us in a way that we never, maybe never even expected. So Holy Spirit, we do ask that you would speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was had lunch this week with someone who has known me all my life and who I appreciate very much, but I won't mention her name. She's not here too, so that's a good thing that I won't mention. So I wouldn't want to, because she said to me while we're having lunch, she said, I just wanted to get together. You're retiring, which is not really the word that I've used. I haven't used that R word, but she says, you're retiring. It is going to be so nice to have a break and not have to come up with a nice story every Sunday. I thought about it for a minute. I know it was a caring statement, a loving statement, and there is a certain responsibility and burden to speak and to bring a message from God's word. But I tried to explain is I don't have to come up with a story. The story has been written. It's his story. I don't have to come up with anything. The challenge is how to express this glorious truth. How to use words, how to express in words what is really inexpressible in words. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. No man can do that. Man can talk for a long time, short time, but only the Holy Spirit can make those words reach into the very soul where we need to be met. And I think of that as the Apostle Paul writes, as the Holy Spirit gives him those words, as he is moved by the Spirit to speak things maybe he didn't even realize what he was saying. Kathy and I oscillated thinking about things for a while when we think about Bethel and how we enjoyed being part of the fellowship here. And we weren't sure if it was just you guys trying to get rid of us, or was it God's will that we went to Thessalon? And now that we look back over 15 years, we know without a doubt it was God's will. It was God's will. I remember the first meeting with the leadership there, and we met in a room, and there were a variety of people there, and they were there to ask questions, give me direction. And I asked them, what can I do? What would you, do you have any requests or suggestions? And I remember the person who said, would you consider to preach through in expository fashion, preach a series through the Gospel of Luke? And the Gospel of Luke is one of my favorite books of the Bible, so I was ready to say yes, but I said, I need to go home and look up the word expository first, and I will get back to you on that. And pretty much, that's been the 15 years, going home, looking up the meaning of the word, looking up the meaning of what God's word means, and trying to express it. And so, it was a number of years ago, after the Gospel of Luke, we went through a letter in 1 Corinthians, which was read and mentioned this morning as we broke bread. And then we went to another gospel, and then we preached through a series or went through a series. And it was a few years ago that I recognized we are 3/4 of the way through the New Testament. And so I put it in my mind and tried to schedule, how can we complete this? I would love to preach through the New Testament. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we ended with 2 Thessalonians, appropriate for the Thessalonians. But when we were finished, I realized, you know, it's 15 years. I wish I could start all over again and do it right. I wish I could start all over again and cover those things that I made notes about. And I often wrote notes and said, if ever I come back, I would like to spend more time on this. And that's why we're looking at Galatians 2:20 today. It has become a verse that will not leave my mind or my heart. It has impressed me over the years just to hear, and to hear Paul, and we know, and some of us would know, it's a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, and I think if we looked it up, we would see that he was concerned. You know that he visited these cities, he shared the gospel, people heard and were convicted in their lives and they got saved and they wanted to follow on for the Lord. But sometimes it wore off, or sometimes there were questions, or others who maybe never really stepped forward by faith and now they were wondering. Paul writes to them and says, why are you going back to those old ways you came from, especially to the religious ones, especially to the religious Jews? Why are you mixing and going back and thinking that there's anything else but the finished work of Christ on the cross? Why would you do that? In a couple of places in Scripture, especially in the book of Acts, we'll read where Paul gives his testimony and tells them what it meant to him to come to faith in Christ. And there is no going back. You can't go back. Christ has got you. And he tries to explain and he gives his testimony. But here, he gives his testimony without details. He's not on a staircase at the temple of Jerusalem. He's not speaking for half an hour to a crowd. And he just, in a verse right here, he sums up his testimony in a powerful way. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, I know from the Gospel of Luke, there were only two others crucified on the day that Jesus was crucified. There was a criminal on his right and a criminal on his left. So how is it that Paul can say, I have been crucified with Christ? How can he say that? And I'm sure the Holy Spirit convicting Paul to write is hoping we would ask, how can he say that? He was not there. Physically, he was not there. And Paul is bringing up the glorious truth that this isn't the physical part that he's talking about. This is not down here in the lower story. This is something that took place in heaven. This is something positionally that changed for Paul on his road to Damascus. He met the Lord Jesus, and at that moment, the Saul of Tarsus ceased to be, and Paul, the Son of God, was born again. And it changed his life, and he spent the rest of his life trying to explain what that means and how it happens. But just like we said earlier, that it's inexpressible. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But Paul is under the power of the Holy Spirit as he travels and he shares what took place in his life at that time. Perhaps Paul is the most capable or the most has the most experience to be able to express this in the day that he lived. If anybody knew what it was like to try to be good and come to God and be acceptable to God on their own and by what they do and how they live, it was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to try to live under the law and to try to do everything right. And he also knew what it was to know that he could never do it. He knew he could never do it. And all it did for Paul was making him an angry, bitter man. You can see it. You can see it when he persecuted the Christians. You can hear that upset with Christ in his heart. You can hear the distance from Christ and the things that he wanted to do to the people who followed him and followed the Lord and the people who were involved in the work of the gospel. Even today, those who are religious but don't know Christ are bitter and angry. And there's a disappointment or an uncertainty in their lives, so they keep doing. Saul of Tarsus had no choice but to keep doing and doing and doing. But inside, he knew it was never going to be enough. He knew that. And so did all his fellow religious Jews. They knew that inside. But yet, they would just keep doing. See, the Apostle Paul knew that one day he had an appointment with God. He knew that there was an appointment in the future, just as there is an appointment for everyone in this room, or there was at one time, everyone in this room, to stand before God and to be judged. Saul of Tarsus knew that. And back in his mind, no matter how much he'd done, back in his mind, he could see the scales. And he knew he would never measure up. He knew that. Until one day, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood what took place on that cross when Jesus died. And Paul knew that was the end of the old Saul of Tarsus. And he was a new creation. He writes that in another letter. The old is gone. He's a new creation. And there was a transfer that took place in heaven. A change in the books of heaven. A change how God looked on Paul. That is an amazing thing to think about. I remember in 1976, I wasn't on the road to Damascus. I was on the road to Iron Lake. Some of you might know where Iron Lake is. I was doing my best to be a hermit. Hard thing to do in a world full of people. But you can do it if you keep working at it. And I was there because of just the way life had gone. And as I was there, the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart something I had never experienced before in my life. And I knew very little of the gospel, except as a young child, a few stories on a flannel board, a couple of visitors to our public school, the Gideons in grade 5. Thank you, Lord, for those people that you have sent to children in school. But that day, as the sun rose, after a sleepless night, the conviction of sin was so heavy on my soul, I didn't know what to do or even if I could survive. And I cried out to God, save me. I cried out to God, I don't want to be like this anymore. If there was just another way to start over, if I could do a do-over, if I could be new, if I could start all over again. And over a course of a few days, course of a few weeks, the Lord Jesus revealed to me himself, just like he did with Paul on the road to Damascus. And the wonderful, beautiful thing is that I've come to understand, and this verse helps me, is that that very day, my name was taken out of the book of deeds. That my name was taken out and the appointment. I love this. I picture this. I picture a sticky note put on an angel's desk in heaven says, remove Charlie Martin's name from that appointment that he's got with God at the great white throne. He doesn't need it anymore. It is kind of written for us in Revelation when John is given a glimpse of what this would look like, this appointment that people who don't know Christ have. Chapter 20, it says, then I saw, in Revelation, it says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I think of that day that a transfer was made. If I was to go up into heaven and ask, could I see the book of deeds? I want to find my name in there. And if I could look it up, and maybe they would ask me, they'd say, well, what's your name? Charles Terrence Martin. Who was your father? Albert Goss Martin. Okay, and they could turn in the pages and turn the pages. Who was your grandfather? Okay, we got a lot of Charles Martins here. But there's the one. There's your name. Oh, wait a minute. The pages are torn out. They're gone. They're not just redacted. They're just not covered over with a black marker. And it would be red if they were. It would be the red, the blood of Christ. But the pages are gone. Sins I didn't even know about. Lots that I did. But if I wanted to see them, if I said, I want to see them all. I want to know what I've been forgiven and where could I go to find them? I'm sure they would direct me down a hall at the East Hall. How far do I have to go down the East Hall? As far as the East is from the West. They're gone. They are no more exist. They don't exist. You see, it's a positional transfer. My name was put into the book of life and my sins were taken away. This is what happens when a person comes to believe on the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a marvelous, marvelous thing? We cannot express that in words. Even the people here that have known that for years or maybe just have come to know that, it is very hard to express. It's hard to share, and yet you want to. The Apostle Paul, and I'm so thankful we have the Word of God that helps us understand this. And he goes on to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh. You see, Paul knows that positionally, it's a done deal. It's taken care of and cannot be reversed. God has put his name in the book of life. God has put my name in his book of life. I pray and I trust that he's put your name in the book of life. If not, you have an appointment with God to stand before him and to be judged. And you need to get that call and get that appointment canceled. You need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. And positionally, he will take care of that. Practically, I'm sure Paul thinks, I know the position. I wish my flesh would catch up with the position. Paul knows that. He knows that even though the best he does, sometimes he doesn't do it right. He says, I know the things I should do, and I don't do them. And I know the things I shouldn't do, and I do those. And he says, who will save this? What a wretched man I am. That conviction of sin. Who will rescue me? He says, praise be to God. See, he's reminded of his position. He knows his position is secure. Do you know that your position is secure? And as we try to live it out practically on this earth, that's sometimes all we can trust in, even our very best, right? Even the very best we try to do, sometimes it just doesn't measure up. I remember one time working at on a home, and as I was working, the man next door would come over and visit. We called him Doc. Everybody called him Doc. Doc would come over to visit. This slows down the job a lot, by the way. It's nothing against older men who have done the job that you've done and want to tell you about their tools and what they had and the old Rockwell saw, you know, with the jointer on the side. Now you know I'm going, anybody here still got one of those? Because we're going back in time. And he would tell me all about those jobs you did. And he's holding the job up. The only thing I had going for me was that Doc was a chain smoker. So halfway through the story, he would start to cough. And I'd have a break and go in and do a little more work. So I could get the job done, but I'd come back. But I was always trying to get away from Doc because I needed to get the job done. I know when the job was over, I felt bad because I was thinking more of getting the job done than spending time. Maybe tell him about the Lord Jesus. Doc died a few months later. I read it in the obituaries, and I thought, well, I'm going to go see him. See his family. Give my condolences to his family, tell them that I met Doc. And so I went to the funeral home and I walked in, and I'm very glad I did because there were only two people there, a woman and a man standing at the casket. And I thought, oh, I'm glad I came. And so I went up and I said to the woman, because she said, did you know my dad? And I said, yes, I just met him briefly working on a job one time not too long ago. And it was just a pleasure to get to meet him. And she's looking at me kind of funny. And as I look over his shoulder at the casket, that's not Doc. I'm in the wrong room. And I see people going by, and I realize he's in the other room. See, sometimes the very best we try to do, it doesn't measure up. It doesn't matter how hard you try. But we don't know. We don't know that God ordained that very meeting at that time. We don't know that. And so I know positionally my name is written in the book of life. Practically, I'm trying to show that that's my position, but I fail. But praise be to God who builds his church, who forgives us and helps us and reminds us of our glorious position in heaven with him. I'm glad I don't have to stand before the judge and give an account of all I've done and have my deeds measured. If I was to think of another verse this morning, if I was to share with you, it would be the Lord Jesus speaking to the people as he said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Sometimes that's overtakes me that I will not stand before the Lord to be judged for my sins. That's hard to even imagine. But Jesus promised us. We're told in the Word of God that he takes away, he's the Lamb of God who takes away all sins. How many here have been to court? Go ahead, put up your hand. Yeah. Jury duty, right? Right? That's right. Yeah. I know that. Only ones who put up their hand are the ones who went to jury duty. That's right. It's an awful thing to think you're going to go before a judge and his decision is final. His sentence is what it's going to be. One time I was in the garage at home working away, and a nice young man came in the driveway. smiling. I wasn't sure what he was there for, but he came up. He said, Charles Martin? Anytime I'm called Charles, that's pretty official. So Charles Martin, he shook my hand and handed me an envelope, and he says, you've been served. I went into the house to see what it was, and Kathy had the same thing. You see, there had been a car accident involved with our car, and I won't say who was driving. That wouldn't be right for me to say who was driving. But it's just much easier for me to tell the story that we were being sued for millions of dollars. And apparently the driver was on drugs, mentally unstable, drinking, should never be driving, careless, and a long, long list of things. And we were scared to death. We said, millions of dollars. How we can't pay this. How are we going to? We talked about it. Can we phone the person and see if they'd settle for a couple thousand? You know, can we somehow settle this? We don't want to go to court. We don't want to go before the judge. Call the insurance company. Said, we just want to settle. They said, whoa. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. We'll take care of it for you. Some weeks later, and this never left our mind, some weeks later we got a call, and we had to go to a deposition and talk about all that, but some weeks later we got a call, and they just said, it's over. It's settled. You see, the insurance company did what they needed to do. They took care of it, and we didn't have to go before the judge. That's what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. He took care of it, and there was no one else who could take care of it. Jesus came to this earth for the express purpose of going to the cross to take away our sins so that you could have your name erased from the book of deeds, placed into the book of life. And those things that were in the book of deeds are gone and gone forever. I want to ask you this morning, do you have an appointment? Do you have an appointment before standing to stand before God? And maybe in your mind you think, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I just hope that the good I've done outweighs the bad, but I think I'm okay. I think I'm a pretty good guy. And I remember this picturing in my mind quite a few years ago, someone I knew and I cared for. He was a pretty good guy. He did not know the Lord, and I realized that hell is going to be full of pretty good guys. But heaven is going to be full of sinners who gave their life to Christ, who believed what he said, and had their sins taken away, and had their names put in the book of life. Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy to worship, which means we bow down. He's worthy to praise. We lift him up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for giving your word that we can read it and handle it. And Holy Spirit, thank you for opening our eyes to it. Thank you for convicting us of our need of a Savior. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. And that's what we pray this morning, that your Spirit is moving in and amongst us. Maybe someone this morning who has never had their name put in the book of life, have never had their deeds removed, and have an appointment at that throne, that great white throne, to be judged. And Lord Jesus, you want to rescue them from that today. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the folks here at Bethel, for their support and love they have expressed today and over the years, for the work that you're doing out of this place and in this community. What a privilege it is to come and to be part of it now and again. And I ask your blessing upon them and all those who are here today. Lord, speak to our hearts. Continue through the week to remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to walk with him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.